praying before Yahweh, that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, "How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you." But Hannah answered and said, "No, my lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but I have poured out my soul before Yahweh. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now." Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the Elohim of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him." And she said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Then they rose early in the morning and worshipped before Yahweh, and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and Yahweh remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, "Because I have asked for him from Yahweh."
Okay, so you see, so now you see where we're at. She was barren, and she promised that if God would give her a man child, that she would give him unto him. And here it is, she has. And his name is Samuel. Any other comments on so far? We continue. Okay, Brother Steve, you'll do 10 more, please.
And the man Elkanah and all his house went up and offered to Yahweh the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said to her husband, "I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before Yahweh and there abide forever." And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Do what seems you good. Tarry until you have weaned him. Only Yahweh establish his word." So the woman stayed and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with 3 bullocks and 1 ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him to the house of Yahweh in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, "O Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by you here praying to Yahweh. For this child I prayed, and Yahweh has given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to Yahweh. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to Yahweh," and he worshiped Yahweh there.
Thank you, Brother Steve. Okay, we will go to the 46th chapter of Isaiah now. And if Sister Robin, would you read for us the first 10? Yes, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. Yes, sir.
Before we get too far away from the first Samuel there, I think there's a tremendous lesson that we should observe here.
Okay.
And it has to do with the power of prayer and the way we approach it to God. You notice, first of all, that she was persecuted. It doesn't say who the adversary was, but I largely suspect it was Elkanah's other wife. So anyway, she was under this pressure constantly, because she was barren of children. So she prayed to Yahweh, and we noticed that she didn't just go out beside her house or kneel down beside her bed, but she went to Shiloh to worship there. So she approached God where God was, because Eli was the high priest at Shiloh, which is where the temple was, or the tabernacle rather, and that's where it was set up. So she earnestly prayed. She bore her soul to the high priest at that time, and her prayers were answered. So, we have to take that into consideration, that when we make our prayer and supplication to God, it has to be with sincerity, and it has to be with dignity, and it has to be soul-searching and laying ourselves before God and asking for our supplications. Otherwise, they're not going to come to pass. So, there's something about prayer that can be said here as well.
And it still sometimes goes to God's will that we may be praying for a certain thing to come in our life or a certain thing to help us in our life, but yet we need to understand that God's will, what we're wanting, quite possibly, would not be God's will. So we need to accept the current situation sometimes, even though we can still pray and ask for things, but be aware that God's will is God's will. Okay? Yes, please. Please.
Just one little thought. We notice there that it says that Eli at the temple, he was the high priest. A high priest does not sit. A high standing at all times working in the Lord's vineyard. And you don't hear about high priests sitting. The only now high priest that sit is Christ, who sits at the right hand of his Father, which is the seat of power and authority.
Okay, any more comments before we do go? Maybe I jumped too fast. Stand up, wave at me, grab my attention. We're going to start with Sister Robin. Did you agree to read for us, please? In the 46th chapter of Isaiah. And he's bringing you the... I'm on mute.
All right. Isaiah 46, first 10 verses. Okay. Bel boweth down, Nebo stoopeth. Their idols were upon the beast and upon the cattle. Your carriages were heavy loaden. They are a burden to the weary beast. They stoop, they bow down together. They could not deliver the burden, but themselves are gone into captivity. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which have been born by me from the belly, which have been carried from the womb. And even to an old age I am he, and even to four hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear. Yea, I will carry and will deliver. To whom will ye liken me, and make me equal, and compare me, that we may be like? Such as lavish gold out of the bag, and weigh silver in the balance. They hire a goldsmith, and he maketh it a god. They fall down, yea, they worship. They bear him upon the shoulder, they carry him, and set him in his place. He standeth. From his place he shall not remove, yea, one shall cry unto him, yet can he not answer, nor save him out of his trouble. Remember this, and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am Yahweh, and there is none else. I am Yahweh, and there is none like me. That may be Elohim, not Yahweh. Yeah, it is. Sorry. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. So they did with the thing that we read earlier, they did with wood, making an idol out of it. Yeah.
Okay, we'll continue with the next, or just finish the chapter. Would you please, Sister Tracy?
Verse 11, calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. Hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted that are far from righteousness. I will bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry. And I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory.
We're going to go into chapter 47. Can I ask Sister Rose to read for us? Please, thank you.
Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks. Make bare the leg. Uncover the thigh. Pass over the rivers. thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Sit thou silent, and get thee into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called the Lady of Kingdoms. I was wroth with my people. I have polluted mine inheritance and given them into thine hand. Thou didst show them no mercy. Upon the ancient hast thou very heavily laid thy yoke. And thou saidest, I shall be a lady forever, so that thou didst not lay these things to thy heart, neither didst remember the latter end of it. Therefore, hear now this, thou that art given to pleasures, that dwellest carelessly, that sayest in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment, in one day, the loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon thee in their perfection for the multitude of thy sorceries and for the great abundance of thine enchantments. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. And thou hast said in thine heart, I am and none else beside me.
Thank you. Thank you.
There's in that eighth verse that Rose just read there, that should be compared to Revelation, the 18th chapter, because Israel here then is being shown as something of a type of the age to come when the antitypical Babylon stands forth and says, I sit a queen, I'm no widow. So this I think is points to what Israel did is typifying of the antitype or Babylon in the age to come.
Where can someone tell me where we had experienced the Chaldeans before?
Go ahead. No. Okay. Where was Abraham to leave? I'm sorry?
Ur of the Chaldees.
Okay. So, that's what, my thoughts were leaning toward. Okay, Sister Rose, I apologize, but I don't know the lady. Renee, would you please finish that chapter for us?
Therefore shall evil call upon thee, thou shalt not know from whence it rises, and mischief shall fall upon thee.
Can you hear?
Thou shalt not be able to put it all, and desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt not know. Stand now with thine enhancements and with the multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. If so be thou shalt be able to profit, if so be thou mayest prevail. Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers and stargazers, the monthly
prognosticators,
okay, stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor fire to sit before it. Thus shall they be unto thee, with whom thou hast labored, even thy merchants. From thy youth they shall wander, every one to his quarter. None shall save thee.
Yeah, Aaron.
And just in connection with Brother Tommy's comments, is that the back in verse 5, the Lady of Kingdoms should be the mistress of the kingdoms, the mistress, which again ties directly in with this. I mean, here in 47. Explains the roots of the Catholic apostasy right here. Again, that's that golden thread of scripture, especially in the golden thread of prophecy. And as a side note is that the Babylonian king referred himself as King Vicar. And well, how did the popes refer to themselves? The Vicar of Christ. So again, the roots of the Roman apostasy or mystic Babylon, of course, is very, very strongly explained here in the 47th chapter.
Thank you. Any other comments, observations? Okay. Well, we will proceed. We're making pretty good time. With our next scripture is Revelation chapter 3. Who would like to start? Okay. I'm going to call on Brother Bobby to read for us, please. You didn't raise your hand, so there it is. Thank you. Revelation 3rd chapter, please, verse 10.
And to the angel of the ecclesia in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father, before his angels. He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said. He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said to the ecclesias. And to the angel of the ecclesia in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and thou hast kept my word, and thou hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, in the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the ecclesias.
Okay, thank you. A lot of the things that I notice in here that really can, when you're a child, you're a teenage boy, you start trying to tell your daddy something, and he already knows. And that's what struck me here is how many times in chapter 2, I know thy works. The Lord knows our works. We're not fooling anyone but yourself if you don't understand that he already knows. That's the important part of needing his grace and mercy in our lives. He already knows that we and what our works are and our failures. So that just stuck with me that the letters to the churches, he knew their works. He knew what they were doing. They had little strength. Well, is that... Well, no, you...
What was it?
I don't believe that it would be the...
What was it that made them have a little strength? Any ideas?
I don't think that it goes to the size. It could go to the faith, to the... what do y'all comment? That they had little strength.
they were faithful. Out of those seven ecclesias, there were only two of them that did not have any condemnation. And who were they? One of them was Philadelphia. Who was the other one? Huh? Smyrna.
Smyrna.
Okay, so we got five out of seven ecclesias that they were condemned for their actions and the things that they were doing. But these two ecclesias, they were faithful unto God, and that was a commending. They were commended for that information. But the thing that we need to continue to remember about Revelation, these seven ecclesias, is even those faithful ones, in 150 years, those faithful ones were gone too. They were all gone. And then this next letter to the Laodiceans, then this includes us. We live in the Laodicean heaven. So we have all these faithful individuals like Philadelphia, and then we look at the Laodiceans, and they said, you know, we're rich in goods, we have need of nothing. But they were wretched and poor and blind and miserable.
Hey, Brother Bobby, you went through. Yeah, I think it's 13. Who will volunteer to pick up at 14? I will do that. I'll do 14 and I'll finish the chapter. So start thinking about who will read chapter 4 for me. Verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea, write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me good, gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and have sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I was speaking to someone yesterday saying, you know, no decision, being lukewarm. You can't straddle the fence. There is no straddling the fence. You can't be on one side, you can't be on the other side. You've made your decision. So, no decision is a decision. Okay? Wouldn't you rather make that decision because you love God than having to be forced at a later date to go before God or Jesus when the kingdom is established and worship Him? Wouldn't you rather be there to help fill the world with His glory?
You know, in that reading there we did, I think it's in verse 20 there, it says, if any man hear my voice. I don't know, that seems like something of an epitaph there as to the ecclesia at Laodicea, because we're talking about a whole group of ecclesias there. But the Spirit says, if any man, singular, hear my voice. So it seems as though things have gotten down to the point where, as a collective group, they weren't responding. They were continuing in their, you know, in whatever it was that they were doing. But the call still went out to any man, anybody in that ecclesia. So then we had this opportunity, just like they did in the days of Laodicea, and we're the antitype of that Laodicean ecclesia. So there's a call here, anybody, and we hope there'll be more than just one man.
I'd be interested in chapter 4, if Brother Pat would read out of that Bible. I enjoyed that reading that you did. And if you'll tell us again, Brother Pat, what was the name of that Bible again?
Oh, this is Berean Study Bible.
Berean?
Berean. Berean. They used to
okay,
be.
Okay, that's what I thought. I thought that's what you said. Yeah.
I think part of the Christadelphians. They broke off, or even the Christadelphians broke off from them. What you want me to read? I guess.
We're going to be on chapter 4 if you'd read the first 10. Or if sure. I tell you what, just read the whole chapter for us.
Sure, I'll do it. After this I looked and saw a door standing open in heaven, and the voice I had previously heard spake to me like a trumpet, was saying, come up here and I will show you what must happen after these things. At once I was in the spirit, and I saw a throne standing in heaven with someone seated on it. The one seated there looked like jasper and carnelian, and a rainbow that gleamed like an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones. And on these thrones sat 24 elders, dressed in white, with golden crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, and rumbling, and peals of thunder. Before the throne burned 7 torches of fire. These are the 7 spirits of Yahweh. Verse 6. And before the throne was something like a sea of glass, as clear as crystal. In the center, around the throne, were 4 living creatures, covered with eyes in front and back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second like a cat, the third had a face like a man, and the fourth was like an eagle in flight. And each of the 4 living creatures had 6 wings and was covered with eyes all around and within. Day and night they never stopped saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And whenever the living creature gave glory, honor, and thanks to the one seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before the one seated on the throne, and they worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory, honor, and power, for you created all things. By you will they exist and came to be.
Thank you, Brother Pat.
As far as the Bereans go, actually that's a takeoff of a scriptural name, Acts. I can't remember now where that name Berean is in scripture, but anyway, it says the Bereans searched the scriptures to see if those things were so. That is, things that the apostles were teaching, those Bereans got together and they studied the Bible for themselves just to make sure that what the apostles were teaching was in fact true, and it turns out they were true, and the Bereans were commended. And that's in Acts 17:10. So the Berean Christadelphians are a takeoff. That's where they got their name, from Acts 17:10. And then I don't know if that Berean Study Bible there is produced by the Berean Christadelphians, or it is? Okay, so the name's in there. The Bereans are a fairly knowledgeable group, except they have some erroneous ideas on the atonement and resurrectional responsibility and things of that nature. A lot of things could be said about that fourth chapter of Revelation that we just read, but it's the rainbow that encircled throne with 24 elders and the four creatures of life encircled round about it, and they represent Christ in the age to come, the rainbow angel.
How do you ever, when you read this, do you ever put yourself in John's, or try to put yourself into his shoes of seeing these things? This revelation that was presented to him, that he could, I don't know how I would describe so forth. So.
I didn't hear you.
Oh, I was saying, do you ever put yourself in John's, place when this was revealed to him, that he, his perceptions and what he thought of it, and how he could? It's very detailed and complicated. It's a lot of symbolic, you know, Revelation is more of a symbolic language, but still, you know, I'm just saying, the beast that was, you know, my thoughts. Anyway, thank y'all for reading.
I think John probably felt a lot like Daniel did, because when Daniel received those visions, it made him sick. It was a vision that just totally overwhelmed him. And I think John probably was something of the same. You know, it was a vision that needed much interpretation. And he was just, I think he was awe inspired by what he saw.
Sister Robin? The symbolism of the number of 24 elders?
The 24 elders represent Christ in their sacerdotal or sacerdotal, or that is their preaching and teaching function. The four creatures of life represent the militant aspect of the manifestation of Christ. And all of those things are all multiples of 12, like the creatures were. Four living creatures, 3 times 4 is 12, the 24 elders, the 24 courses of the priesthood that brother Aaron was talking about. So those are all significant numbers.
Okay, at this time I'm fixing to ring the bell, and I want to thank y'all for allowing me to preside today. Thank you.